Hello again, friends. We're good to glad to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another program brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. And as we've often told you on this broadcast, that this is not a substitute for church attendance. When we talk about it being a service, we're referring to that which is a spiritual assistant to help you and your entire family come to know the Bible better. You know, we're interested in hearing from you. We do not solicit funds on the air. We're interested in hearing from you and finding out how you're receiving the broadcast. Whatever comments or questions you might have, we invite you to feel free to send them in. We're continuing on with our series, The Gospel of Christ, on the broadcast again today. And we've dealt with a number of subjects in talking about the gospel being God's power. We talked about the complete story, the scope of the gospel. We talked about how to receive the gospel, how to live with the gospel. And then the last 2 weeks, we dealt with the church in connection with the gospel and the church in connection with the government of the local congregation. See, this is a cover of span that shows us truly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and it's not alone designed to tell us what to do to be saved from our sin, but how to live within Christ Jesus as humble servants. One in becoming a child of God does become a servant of righteousness. And this whole thing, of course, is leading up to the time when we will stand before Christ in the final judgment. I thought the other day of 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 that said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. So the point is that we are going on to the judgment. Now, if we pass from this stage of action before Christ comes, then in that resurrection we will come forth from the grave to stand there at that so-called bar of judgment. If we are living upon the earth when Christ comes, there will be a transition. But as the Scripture says in Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. So we will all stand there at the final day. And of course, the interesting point is that we want to be in the congregation of the righteous. We want to stand approved in His sight. What does the Bible have to say about the bar of judgment? There are many, many passages that we could go to in the Word of God. But I want to go to the 20th chapter of Revelation on the broadcast today. And this is where we have in verse 11 a great white throne being set there before humanity. Notice the words as John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us this beautiful picture of a revelation from Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. Now, you may want to study this in detail, so why don't you just write down Revelation 20, 11 through 15. That's going to be the bulk of what we'll have time to discuss regarding the judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we're going to point out to you on the broadcast that everyone wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to the Gehenna, or to the lake of fire that is referred to in the final verse of this chapter. We're going to tell you today from the Bible how it is possible for you to stand approved at the final day. The first thing that you must do is to become a Christian. You remember Jesus said in John the 3rd chapter to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom." He said that he must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom. May I say to you, not being the final judge, but letting the Word of God teach us, that there is not one passage of Scripture in the New Testament or in the Bible that would offer hope to a person who is out of Christ Jesus or who truly has not become a Christian. I'm talking about on this side of the cross. Now, the people who lived before Christ came to this earth, of course, when He died on the cross, it was necessary for Him to remove their sin. His death upon the cross made it possible for us all to know how to be made free from sin. But at the time that we will stand before Him at the final day, we will truly only have an opportunity of being on the right, as He said in the 25th chapter of Matthew, as a sheep, if we have actually become a part of His family, a part of His fold, or have been born again. So if you're listening today and you're not born again, we want to say that your score at the bar of judgment is very low. We're not the judge, but we're telling you what the Bible says. So make the point plain to be born again, to be born of the water and the Spirit. If you want to know more about that, simply look at the book of Acts and read the accounts of conversion. And as we've told you on the broadcast before, there are five things as a composite picture comes to our eyes that people did to become Christians. They heard the word, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith in Christ, that they believed he was the Son of God, and they were baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now that's the form of doctrine of which Paul alluded to in Romans 6 and 18. Now don't do anything short of that. Now when you become a Christian, as we told you, you put on Christ, you're a part of his spiritual body, and you go on, as Romans 12 and 11 says, presenting your body as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable in his sight. John tells you in Revelation 2 and 10, as well as me, to be faithful unto death, that we might receive the crown of life. You see, you're not winning this battle of life by yourself. You're a true yoke fellow with Jesus Christ, for Jesus taught in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He then said, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, when we take his yoke upon us, we enter into a fellowship with sins forgiven, and then we're in the yoke with Jesus Christ. And might I suggest to you, think with me along this line. How could you possibly lose as long as you stay in that yoke or that fellowship with Jesus Christ? You're going to constantly be learning. Now, we're not trying to oversimplify this thing, but it is a simple plan. And may I remind you that the devil's trying to corrupt it, because the devil also knows there's a judgment coming. And he wants to hurt God by doing everything he can to encourage humanity to follow him rather than God. So the time comes at the final day when we're going to stand before God. Now, I want to make a point clear so there'll be no misunderstanding. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 that we referred to at the outset of the broadcast, it mentions standing before Christ. Well, I believe this is equivalent in standing before God. I think we could look at it from this standpoint. The creation of the world we associate with God, but it was made for Christ and made by him. So as God said apparently to Jesus in Genesis, the first chapter, "Come, let us make man in our own image." You see, the creation in that sense was both performed by God and Christ. The same is true of the final judgment. So there's no discrepancy when it says here in verse 12 of Revelation 20, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now the interesting point is, the books were opened, it says in verse 12. All people are there. The books are open. What are these books? Apparently it refers to both the Old and the New Testaments. These are not the doctrines of man. These are not the creeds of man. So may I warn you on this broadcast, with all kindness and yet with all firmness, that if you're following a human dogma or a human doctrine, if you're following something in religion that has been ordained by man, let me warn you that that thing is not going to get out of this life alive. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, in verse 10, it mentions when this earth is destroyed, and the Bible teaches that it will be burned up, that the works of man are also going to be burned up, and that includes all the doctrines. So let me warn you on this broadcast, not as your judge, but as a teacher of the truth, that you will not find that creed book that you're following today as a standard for judgment. It's either going to be the Old Testament or the New, and there's also going to be the Book of Life there. Now these things are in the hands of Almighty God. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. What does this mean? It means that the Bible is the standard or the criteria. And we're either going to measure up to what the Bible says or we'll fall short. Now someone says, "Preacher, I don't believe we can possibly live the kind of a life that we could live up to that standard." Oftentimes when people offer questions, what if, what if? Of course, one thing it must be considered, if we have followed the Lord faithfully, doing what we can according to his teaching, and what I simply mean, not by our own idea, but by his teaching, and we've tried to do this,
and yet we've fallen short of the mark. You see, His grace is sufficient. And God's the one that's going to judge. Christ is the one that's going to judge. They're in a position to recognize where we really are. So when it says according to their works, He's going to measure the things that we've done in this life that are good. He's also going to know the bad. And it'll be much like it was there in the story of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You'll recall that there were three servants. One had five talents, another had two. They both were saved because they used what God had given them. But the man who had one talent, not because he had one talent, was lost because he buried that talent. So I'm offering a teaching here, not as a threat, but as a teaching that will encourage you to realize that your work for your fellow man and for God is going to count. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And then death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's the baptism of fire of which John spoke in Matthew 3. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, friends, if you don't believe this to be true on the broadcast today, we feel sorry for you, because not alone are you defying or going contrary to the will of God, but you are not following a safe course. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ offer you the safety of the gospel. Obey it from your heart. There's nothing to lose. There's everything to gain. If you have questions about this judgment, feel free to send them in. Be with us again on the broadcast. Remember the time of the service of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. May God bless us all as we obey His marvelous and His wonderful truth.